Likewise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks, and today I'm talking to Brett Diamond, the CEO of 1111 Systems. 1111 Systems was launched in September 2021, and Brett joined the company at that time. We'll be talking about the future of infrastructure in the enterprise. Brett, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
A few years ago, organizations were looking for a single cloud platform to solve all their problems. In recent years, two trends have emerged. COVID acted as a catalyst for cloud migration and digitalization, and has meant that companies have often moved to a multitude of cloud vendors. Those organizations are now looking for a degree of consolidation. However, there's also that trend towards a more hybrid cloud environment for those who started migrating to a single cloud vendor before COVID. As we head towards 2023, what's the right approach?
I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all approach to any business, whether you're an SMB or you're a Fortune 100 client. Every single cloud environment is going to be different. We have seen a large transformation recently from that single cloud environment to either multi or hybrid cloud. Whether you are putting your cost-sensitive apps on a public cloud or you're putting your more critical and customized apps on a private cloud, we have seen a mix of those moving forward across all the different industries that we're working with. That being said, there is a push for a single vendor that's going to manage those cloud environments. They are complex. They are ever-changing. The ability to handle multiple cloud environments for our customers is going to be essential.
When you say multi and hybrid, it sounds like you're calling that two different things. Can you just explain what you mean by that?
When we refer to hybrid cloud environments, at least in the 1111 sense, we're talking about having private cloud environments that we monitor and manage and support ourselves versus the, let's call it the public cloud environments, like the hyperscalers, versus a multi-cloud environment could be multiple hyperscalers on a single instance.
With regards to those hyperscalers, what I'm seeing in the enterprise space is people don't want to necessarily put all the eggs in one hyperscaler basket. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And this is the same transformation we saw back in the late 90s and early 2000s in the telecom sector when networks were running on a single carrier environment and the rise of the CLECs and the rise of having a best-of-breed multi-carrier approach. And I think we're seeing the same in the cloud environments where originally it was all about consolidating onto a single cloud provider and then realizing quickly that not all cloud providers are created equally. There is a certain fit for certain applications being run on different cloud environments. And I think we're going to continue to see that push in the future.
Why are people not bringing it or retaining it in-house any longer? Where do managed service providers fit?
I don't think it's that they don't want to retain it in-house, but with the ever-changing landscape, with the complexities around managing and monitoring networks that are changing every single day, the great resignation, supply chain issues, inflationary issues, I think it's the perfect storm for internal IT teams in terms of being able to realize that they can't have everything in-house. Critical infrastructure, in my opinion, is going to continue to be maintained and monitored by internal IT teams, but outsourcing managed services, whether it's across connectivity, whether it's across the cloud, whether it's certain aspects of your security environments, are going to continue to be growing at an exponential rate simply because of the amount of changes that are constantly going on. Just being able to retain the right talent to support those changes is going to be very difficult.
Digitalization was a major priority during COVID. Other priorities are now emerging, such as security, sustainability, and supply chain management. What do you see as the C-suite priorities for 2023?
Security is going to be one of the biggest IT-related issues that we are going to face in our lifetime, and it's continuing to change rapidly. And whether you are securing the cloud, securing the edge, securing your applications, there is going to be a constant transformation around what truly means security within an organization. Ransomware is going to continue to be a huge threat. Most firms either have no incident response plans or they don't even test their defenses. So I think you're going to start to see things like penetration testing, expansions of SOCs, both internally and externally, continue to grow. What we're trying to really focus on is ensuring that whether your data is lying on our infrastructure or it's at the prem, we want to have a security application that is going to fit the needs for our clients, again, across SMB or the large enterprise, because they are very different.
You phrased that as a technology challenge, but it isn't just a technology challenge, is it?
No, it is not. it goes across so many different platforms and security, the way we look at security. And when I was talking about the cloud earlier, we have always done through the acquisitions of the companies that we've acquired, doing a great job of securing our internal clouds, but being able to get to the customer edge and securing how they're accessing the cloud has really become a key piece for us as well.
How should the C-suite look at security? And what are a couple of key points they should consider moving forward?
It's a requirement at this point, very similar to the way data or connectivity has been for the last multiple decades. Security is going to be its own pillar. It's its own pillar at 1111. That's why we ensure that it's a major piece of what we talk about with our clients. But I think that security really is at the forefront of what they're doing. You almost start with security and can build your network out from there in a lot of instances, and just ensuring that your entire network from start to finish is protected.
Talking about connectivity, as we move towards a more hybrid and even remote working environment, when you're talking about security at the edge, it's almost beyond the edge, isn't it?
It is. In today's society, with work from home environments, with data center environments, with office spaces, you need to protect so many different aspects of the network. Every single one of those brings different issues with it as well. There really is no particular instance where security is the same throughout, and it's becoming more and more complex to manage that internally within an organization. Just working with the right vendors, finding a best of breed approach to what you do is really something that we've been preaching to our clients and to our partners.
I mentioned supply chain management earlier, but that's often called supply chain security or supply chain risk in the 1111 terminology, I believe. How important is that? And how important is third-party risk to us as well?
I would say of all the headwinds that we've faced as an organization this year, supply chain has been the one that has been the most difficult for us to manage. And whether you're a managed infrastructure provider like ourselves or you're bringing a lot of the infrastructure in-house, the ability to get the critical gear that we need in a timely manner has become more and more difficult. Pricing's probably gone up 30 to 35% over the last 12 months alone. From our perspective, the managed service provider piece for companies that used to try to handle everything in-house, where we're able to get that gear, we're able to deploy it a little bit quicker and have the expertise in-house, is going to provide them with a go-to-market strategy that is going to be much more sustainable in the future, because supply chain issues are going to continue to be a major problem throughout 2023. While we've seen them slightly decline over the last, call it 30 to 60 days, I don't think it's to a point where it's manageable for internal companies at the scale that they need to continue to grow.
What's the approach people should take to sustainability, especially when considering technology is not exactly green most of the time?
ESG is a big piece of what we do. When you're looking at sustainability, is it more a process of being able to continue to do that in-house or support it with an organization that is a managed service provider that can put more of their resources on that gear long-term over time versus constantly having to upgrade it yourself? I don't think that's a sustainable way as well. You're buying gear that you are never maximizing and then you're refreshing it every 5 to 7 years. I just don't think that's a realistic approach towards sustainability for any organization.
How should these trends impact the CIO's technology strategy going into 2023?
The first thing that you need to do as a CIO is identify the critical applications that you should be running in-house, because we talk about managed services, and I don't think that an entire outsourced managed services strategy for every organization is realistic. So if you are a larger enterprise, figure out the ones that need to be kept in-house. For the other applications, again, whether we're talking about cloud connectivity or security, outsource as much of that as possible to trusted advisors, to trusted partners that have the ability to scale and stay ahead of the trends, and more importantly, maintain the proper team in-house to support that ever-growing complex network capabilities. Like I said earlier, there's not a one-size-fits-all for cloud. There's not a one-size-fits-all for identifying how your IT strategy should look, but it should be a mix of in-house and managed services.
You talk about the things people should keep in-house, but what are the factors they need to consider in making that decision? Can you give me an example of an organization in a specific vertical? What factors they need to look at to make that decision on whether they should outsource this or whether they shouldn't outsource this?
Absolutely. And every vertical is very different. What a healthcare company deems critical is very different than what a financial company deems to be critical. Depending upon the specific vertical that you're in, only you can decide which ones must be kept in-house. So if it's HIPAA compliance here or some other compliancy that you've got on the financial side, you need to retain that expertise in-house to stay ahead of that. If there are applications that are becoming more commoditized and complex for you to keep up with, then you should look at trusted advisors or managed service providers that can continually grow and expand and evolve around that particular competency. So again, I think it really depends on the particular vertical and figuring out what they deem to be critical. What we normally do is we have the expertise in-house across our global footprint to sit down with each individual organization and create some type of customizable approach to how that should look.
Once you've outsourced, say, security or IT services, what should the IT team look like internally? Obviously, people get repurposed, but you don't necessarily want to completely eliminate your security team. What are the internal resources you need to maintain? How do they mesh with your MSSP or MSP?
In the late 90s and early 2000s, most IT departments were separated between, say, voice and data, and you had expertise in voice and you had expertise in data. And as those two technologies converged over time and the rise of the CLECs with integration amongst those, you actually had to cross-train your teams to be able to support both of those applications. I think now we are more focused on ensuring that security internally is a true part of the every IT team's structure moving forward. And I'm not for outsourcing all parts of a security organization to third parties. What I'm simply stating is that internally you should have a certain group of team members that are responsible for day-to-day activities, but the portions that can be outsourced, the portions that you deem to maybe be secondary or tertiary in terms of the criticality or nature, look to a managed service provider to offset some of those internal costs and expertise.
You touched on this already, but what's the importance of managing unified IT solutions in an ever more sophisticated threat landscape?
As ransomware evolves, there's going to be a multitude of things required for implementing managed and unified services across an organization. It's going to require thinking about how data flows in organizations from a security perspective, networking perspective, how workloads are protected. We're going to constantly be talking about backups and all the different ways that you can protect your data. At the end of the day, the sum of the parts is really what makes up the protection.
How does cyber insurance fit into this? Because obviously, if a company moves their responsibility of security to an outsourced partner, they can't move their accountability. The insurance company is going to want to be involved within that triangular relationship.
What we've found outside of the enormous amounts that we pay for cybersecurity insurance today is that customers that need cyber insurance, which is pretty much everyone at this point, whether you think you need it or not, if you have implemented a robust cybersecurity initiative, not only to protect your business, the costs of cybersecurity are dramatically going down. It's almost as if the insurance companies have said, if you implement these proper go-to-market security measurements, we are not going to be charging you as much for insurance. So you're not only protecting your business as you should be doing, but you're also going to be paying less money. So they're directly correlated with one another. 5-6 years ago, that wasn't the case. You could get away from having cyber insurance. And at this point right now, every single company should be focused on how cybersecurity is going to enhance their business, protect their business, but also lower their overall costs from an insurance perspective.
A bit of a tongue-in-cheek question here, but is cybersecurity a cost or a benefit?
Cybersecurity is a benefit. But by far, I mean, it's a cost of doing business at this point for any organization, and you shouldn't look at it as an ancillary piece or something that only certain companies need to have. Every single company needs to have some type of cybersecurity practice internally.
Most people won't have heard of 1111 Systems. You've gone through 7 acquisitions, I think. Can you tell me a little bit more about your growth strategy and the vision?
1111 Systems focuses on 3 main core pillars of our business, which are cloud, connectivity, and security. When we talk about the cloud, we're talking about things like backup as a service, DR as a service, infrastructure as a service. On the connectivity side, we focus on SD-WAN, private networks, dedicated internet access. On the security side, things like managed firewalls, SIEM, EDR. We have our own full global security operations center. The reason why we focused our line of business around those 3 pillars or those 3 technologies is because they are very much intertwined with one another. We wanted to be the first company globally that was able to grow both through inorganic and organic measures that was focused around bridging the gap between those three technologies and allowing our customers to procure them through a single source, through a single platform. We believe our growth strategy is very different. There's not a company out there today that is really looking to bring those three together with the expansion capabilities that we have, again, through organic and inorganic measures. You had mentioned earlier that we have grown through several acquisitions. We've done 7 key acquisitions across all three pillars over the last 9 months. We are going to continue to be very aggressive on both fronts.
Are you a managed network provider? Do you have your own dark fiber? Because Clearion had some dark fiber when you acquired them.
No, so we are vendor agnostic. We are what we consider to be a managed infrastructure solutions provider. We are a best of breed. We are not building out any physical fiber infrastructure. The assets that we purchased from Clarion were of their lit network services and their customer base. We did not acquire any of their physical fiber assets.
What's the next pillar?
Well, we talk about this all the time. We've done a lot in a very short period of time and obviously grown into a global business very quickly. We are going to continue to maintain our focus on those three pillars. What we have added as an ancillary product solution to those is our consulting and professional services practice, which is really focused on customizable services around cloud connectivity and security, whether it's developing and designing a customized recovery network or a connectivity network or supporting certain gear and rack and stack and design, things like that, just to support those three key pillars. Those are the ones that we're going to focus on for now, but I'm sure at some point there'll be a fourth pillar. We just don't know what it is just yet.
Are you looking to expand into Europe?
We are already in Europe with the acquisition that we made through Iland back in December of last year. We've got a team of about 60 individuals throughout the UK and EMEA. We've got individuals out in Australia and the APAC region, obviously throughout the States and North America. And then with the recent SunGard acquisitions that we've acquired, we'll have a pretty large team throughout India. So at this point, we are global in scale. We have not gotten down to South America just yet, but from a geographic footprint around cloud connectivity and security, we are pretty expansive at this point.
In Europe, I was more thinking about France and Germany, because Germany brings its own challenges.
It does. We're definitely going to be focused, though, on hitting those key areas in the future, specifically France and Germany. Where we are today is really strong within the UK region. EMEA will be a focus for us in 2023 and beyond. We ultimately want to be able to support our customers on whatever cloud journey they want, but also around whatever regions they need to ultimately support their cloud connectivity and security products.
Brett, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.